My name is Stan Akunovic, and welcome to Beyond MVP, Customizing Xamarin Forms. I am a mobile development consultant specializing in Xamarin, and I'm running a digital agency called Neckbeard Consulting. I'm leaving my Twitter and my emails. If you have any questions afterwards, feel free to ask. So what we'll be going through today is what is Xamarin, what is Xamarin Forms, just a quick introduction, as well as what are dependency service and custom renderers, which are two very important features of Xamarin Forms, as well as a quick code-through demo to display those features. So first of all, first question, how many of you are actually familiar with Xamarin? Could you just raise your hand? All right, that's good. And how many of you have developed a production-ready application with Xamarin? Okay, that's good. What about Xamarin Forms? How many of you are familiar? Okay, decent amount. Right, so first of all, what is Xamarin? Xamarin is a native cross-platform development solution. That's main selling point is the fact that all the code it generates is native. So unlike web-view-based frameworks such as, let's say, PhoneGap, Cordova, SensuTouch, etc., the code you generated is not limited to a web view. It's the actual native code that would run on a specific platform. Why Xamarin? So first of all, since you're writing in the same language, which is C# or F#, there is no duplication of business logic. The main issue you would have with writing separate native applications is, say, you want to support both iOS, Android, and Windows Phone. Effectively, you are tripling the amount of logic you have to write. And when it comes to maintenance, that's an absolute nightmare. So Xamarin takes care of that, since you're only writing the business logic once. It also has full native API coverage, which means anything that you can do in a particular platform, you can do in Xamarin. What that means is, first of all, there's no technical limitation to what you can achieve with your application. And also, if you do end up switching to, let's say, Swift or Java, you will have a much easier time because you will already be familiar with the APIs and all the design patterns. All you'll need to do is learn the new syntax for the language. It also offers fully customized user interfaces, which means instead of just going for a lowest common denominator approach, what you do is you handcraft the UI so it can be as pixel perfect as you need to be. You have the same capabilities as, for example, iOS's Visual Designer. Now, what is Xamarin Forms? Xamarin Forms is an abstraction over Xamarin designed for UI code reuse. What that means is instead of writing three separate UIs, you're only writing one, which then renders to whatever the relevant native control is. The way it works is, instead of having three separate UIs, of course, you only have one. Now, there's a lot provided out of the box. These are not all the components available, just some of them. And all of these are fully customizable if you need to. And they will also render into whatever the native control is. So for example, a picker will also render into a relevant picker on the platform. And if it looks native, these are the controls that would be rendered by Xamarin Forms. They do look native. Why? Because they are native. Behind the scenes, it's the same code as if you were to simply write a Xamarin application writing custom UI. The difference is it's just abstracted for you. So you can create your UI code in both code, so C# or XAML. So if you are, for example, a WPF or Silverlight developer, you will feel right at home. Now, I'm not completely sure of this, but I think they use the 2009 spec for XAML, so it's still fairly modern. And also, at some point, if your application outgrows the initial requirements and what Xamarin provides out of the box is simply not enough, what you can do is you can extend the functionality of your controls. And this is something that we'll be going through today. So the first very important feature of Xamarin Forms is dependency service. What dependency service is essentially it's a unified interface allowing you to access native platform-specific functionality that serves the same purpose. So for example, you need to check the battery status in your application. Even though the native implementations are completely different, the purpose is the same, which is where dependency service comes in. For example, we'll be using the Xamarin's example, which implements the text-to-speech functionality. So first of all, the way we implement a dependency service is, first of all, in our forms project, so in our shared project, we create a shared interface. So that's all there is to it. It's just an interface. In our case, it's iText2speech, which has only one method, which is speak, and then it takes a string of the text that's meant to be spoken out. Now, when it comes to actually implementing it, on each individual platform, you decide how the functionality will behave. So what happens over here is, first of all, we're implementing the iText2speech interface. We are providing an empty constructor, which is mandatory for dependency service to work. And then we implement our speak methods, which is the platform-specific implementation. So behind the scenes, the actual Xamarin Forms application will only see the end result, certainly the actual speech. And of course, this is something I always forget when developing applications. At the top of your namespace, when you're implementing a dependency service, you have to add this assembly attribute, which basically tells Xamarin how to find that specific dependency. Now, in order to call dependency, it's actually quite simple. What we do is, if you see this line over here, speak.clicked, all we do is call dependency service.get. We specify our interface, which is iText2speech, and then we tell it what to do, and that's it. Everything else is handled behind the scenes in our service. And the same process would also work for Android and Windows Phone. Now, another very important feature of Xamarin Forms is custom renderers. What custom renderers allow you to do is they allow you to customize your control that's provided out of the box. So for example, let's say you have an entry field and you want an Apple-specific border around it, but you want to keep your flat look on Android. You are able to do so via custom render. That way you specify functionality for only that specific platform you've chosen. So why would you want to use custom renderers? Well, first of all, it's to extend the existing controls, the ones that are provided out of the box. And also, you can implement completely new controls. So for example, you may want to just post it on your GitHub or sell it in the Xamarin component store. In that case, you would simply inherit the view render, which is the most generic render you can get. It's effectively the container for your component. And then you would implement it. For example, we'll be going through a customized entry control. So as we see here, on iOS, we're going to have this nice purple background and a border. On Androids, everything will remain pretty much the same except for a light green background. And on Windows Phone, we just want a light blue background. So first of all, when you're implementing it, it starts off the same. So in your Xamarin Forms project, you implement your view. So for example, this would be my entry, and you decide which control you wish to extend. So in this case, we are extending the entry control. And that's it for the most simple for the simplistic implementation. Now, when it comes to platform-specific implementations, what you do is you go to a specific project. So for example, this would be our iOS project. You create a new class called MyEntryRender or anything you want, and then specify the renderer that you wish to extend. So in our case, this would be entry renderer. And on element change, overriding on element change is a generic practice which we use whenever we're extending custom controls. On element change, what we do is, first of all, we check if the control exists, if nothing's broken with it, and then we do whatever we want with the control. So in our case, we are changing the background color and setting our border style to a simple line. On Android, it's very similar. Once again, you just set a background color using the native API for setting a background color. And on Windows Phone, it's slightly different, the naming's slightly different, but the purpose is the same. So you're just changing the color. And now, once again, the most important part, the assembly attribute. Without this, Xamarin Forms will not know what control to look for. But while on dependency service, the application would crash. In this case, since we're extending an existing control, it would simply display our entry without any modifications. So it wouldn't crash your application, just wouldn't display what you wanted to display. Now, a little flash quiz to see if you've been listening. Question 1, What is a good use case for Xamarin Forms? A, applications that need a heavily customized UI and or rely heavily on platform-specific features. B, applications with limited platform-specific needs. So prototypes, data entry applications, etc. Or all of the above. If you think A, raise your hand now. All right, if you believe the answer is B, raise your hand now. All right, that's a few. And if you think it's C, raise your hand now. Well, I seem to have forgotten a slide. But unfortunately, the correct answer is B. While you can't technically use Xamarin Forms for heavily customized applications, you would still want you in those cases you would want to use a native UI. While Xamarin Forms does have ways of extending your UIs, you shouldn't rely on it too much. If it's a very heavily customized application, just stick to the native UI. Now, another question. What is a good case for dependency service? So is it A, customizing the look and feel of an application? B, creating a generic way to access platform-specific functionality? Or C, all of the above? A, any hands? All right, B, any hands? And C? And the correct... Right. Right. And the correct answer was B. For customizing the look and feel of an application, we are using custom renderers. And now the third one. What is a good use case for custom renderers? So is it A, extending existing forms controls with platform-specific features? B, abstracting platform-specific functionality for unified access? Or C, all of the above? Once again, A, B, and C. And the correct answer is A. Congratulations, everybody got it right. Now it's demo time, my favorite part. What we are going to be building is a very simple Xamarin Forms application that just shows off these two features I mentioned. So let's see what it looks like right now. So what it's a simple application which has a button that says show warning and a name entry field. That's it. So let's enter a name and show warning. That's it. That's all this application does. Now if you may have noticed, the show warning is way too close to our status bar. So let's solve that first. Over here, what we are going to do is we're going to set a padding. I'll explain what I'm doing in just a second. So what's happening here is, annoyingly enough, the way iOS applications render by default, they render them far too close to the status bar. So a generic practice is to add a little bit of padding, just a padding of 20 dps to make sure those two don't interfere. And what I'm doing here, device on platform, that's a Xamarin Forms method that allows you to return a specific value or call a method based on the specific platform it's running. So if it's a very trivial task that doesn't need dependency service, you can simply do it with device on platform. Now, first of all, what we're going to be first is instead of an ugly warning box, what we're going to do is we're going to make it a soft warning. So unfortunately, iOS doesn't have the concept of a soft warning, so we'll just stick to an alert. But on Android, we would like to display a toast instead. So the way we start doing this is, first of all, we're going to create our dependency. Sorry, our interface. 2 seconds. So go to new file, empty class, and let's call it iSoftWarning. That's it. Oh, I just created a new class, didn't I? My bad. SoftWarning. And what it's gonna do is it's gonna call showWarning. That's it. Our interface is now implemented. So now we'll go to platform-specific implementations. So first of all, we'll start off with iOS. On iOS, we're going to create a new class. Let's call it Soft Warning iOS. Can I type? I can type. Alright, so what we have here is, first of all, we're going to implement our interface, so iSoftWarning, and implement our method, which was showWarning. Now, since we are in iOS, what we're going to need is its UI kit. And what we are going to do is we're going to create a new UI, a new alert view. Let's just name this warning. Let it display our message. And that's just null. Okay, and null. And that's it. We have now implemented our iOS implementation. So what it does is it's going to create a new UI alert view and show it. That's the unfortunately, iOS does not have anything simpler than that. So there's no concept of a toast. So we're just going to stick to that. Now Android is where things are going to get a little more fun. Well, fun is relative, but. So what we're going to have here is our soft warning droid. And once again, we're doing the same thing. So we're implementing our iSoftWarning. So far, so good. And we're implementing our show warning methods. And I forgot that. Now, on Android, instead of displaying an ugly alert, we're going to display a toast. So what we're going to do is toast. Dot, and of course, we don't have toast. We're going to resolve that. Dot, make text. Here, we're going to display our one more thing. First of all, we're going to declare our context, which is forms.context. Forms.context is essentially the currently running activity. Since when you're using forms, you technically only have one activity running at all times, this is the equivalent of what you would have if you were building a native Android application. So what you do is you give it your context, your message, and your duration, which is going to be long. And that's it. We have now implemented our warning. The last thing left to do is going back to this, and instead of displaying alert, we're going to do dependency service get. We're going to get our interface, and we're going to show the warning. And for warning, we have our warning message, so we no longer need this. Now, if you have been paying attention, you should notice something missing. Correct. We're going to declare our assembly, which is xamarin.forms.dependency, and a type of soft warning demo, soft warning iOS. All right. And we're going to have the same problem over here. So once again, assembly. Xam dependency soft warning droid type of. And let's add this. And here we go, we're ready. Now let's see no, we're not. Almost. And we are ready. Almost. Getting there? Yeah, apparently I can't type. Alright, that's all good. So I can type after all. I think it's the atmosphere, really, running a MacBook at a Microsoft conference. Things happen. Ish. So now we have our warning remains unchanged, since that's what we're still using. And on Android, let's see if we succeeded. Now, on average, Xamarin takes about 7 years to compile an Android application, so bear with me. Now, let's see. So we have our show warning. Now, let's see. Oh, I forgot one more thing. Yeah, we're not actually showing our toast. And here we go, we have a toast. All right, so far so good. Now let's do one more thing. I would like on iOS, I would like this entry field to have a board around it. So what we're going to do for that is a custom render. So first of all, we're going to create our new control, which is going to be an empty class. Let's just call it bordered entry. And it inherits from entry, because that's what we are extending. And that's it. Our control is now set up. Now if we go to iOS and create a new one, we're going to create our bordered entry render. Oh, here once again we have our empty constructor. And over here we're going to inherit, we're going to extend entry render. What this gives us now is it gives us the override for on element changed, which is where our magic will happen. First of all, what we're going to do is we're going to check if our control is not empty, is not null. And if it's not, let's give it a border. Yeah, let's just make it that. And that's almost it. The only thing that's missing is the assembly attribute. And that, and now we have that. Export render. Type of. So what the export render takes is the is our bordered entry, so our control we declared in our shared project, and the renderer. So that would be bordered entry render. Should have given it a different name. Okay, so far so good. Let's just add what's missing. And I cannot start, I cannot type. Okay, we have this, and this. Now, if we go back to our iOS application, which is going to be an empty class, let's just call it bordered entry. And it inherits from entry, because that's what we are extending. And that's it. Our control is now set up. Now if we go to iOS and create a new one, we're going to create our bordered entry render. Oh, here once again we have our empty constructor, and over here we're going to inherit, we're going to extend entry render. What this gives us now is it gives us the override for on element changed, which is where our magic will happen. First of all, what we're going to do is we're going to check if our control is not empty, is not null. And if it's not, let's give it a border.
Yeah, let's just make it that. And that's almost it. The only thing that's missing is the assembly attribute. And that, and now we have that. Export renderer. Type of. So what the export renderer takes is our bordered entry, so our control we declared in our shared project, and the renderer. So that would be bordered entry renderer. Should have given it a different name. Okay, so far so good. Let's just add what's missing. And I cannot type. Okay, we have this, and this. Now, if we go back to our iOS application, as you can see, we have our border, do we? No, we don't. That's because I forgot one more thing. Back in our soft warning page, in our Xamarin Forms application, what we're going to do is we're going to replace our entry with bordered entry. Now let's see what happens. Great, so we have our entry. It looks absolutely awful, but it works, so all good. Now let's see what happened on Android. Absolutely nothing. This is because since there was no assembly attribute added to anything on our Android project, it simply found the existing entry control and used whatever that control already has. And the same process you could, of course, reuse to Windows Phone, but unfortunately, we don't have the pleasure of running that on a Mac. That's that. Now back to our slides. And yeah, any questions? No. So the question was, if you're using XAML, how would it be different from just using custom renderers? And it actually wouldn't, because in XAML you would still use any custom renderers you have already declared. So what you would do in XAML is you would declare a new namespace, so you know, the usual X colon local, and then from that you would find the correct controls anyway. Anyone else? Sorry, could you repeat that?
Can you write a custom renderer against the entry control itself directly?
Yes, that is so the question is could you write a custom controller against the entry controller? And to an extent, yes. What you would do is either you would extend the existing entry controller to as custom as you need to be, so you could change it as much as the native platform allows. Or what you could do is you could create a completely separate view that instead of being based on entry, it would be just based on a view render. What that means that there would be a lot of boilerplate code to write to get the same functionality, but you could create a control completely from scratch.
In your demo, why did you choose not to use XAML?
I'm personally not that big a fan of XAML. So that's the only reason. My preference is C#. Also, I wasn't entirely sure how many XAML developers we'll have here. So it's just really the safest way to go.
So it's going to set us complex forms.
Yeah.
So you need to sort of visualize it and expect it using XAML.
Yeah, for when it comes to visualizing, currently all we have is our editor. So there's currently no visual editor. But I was watching a podcast by Mikhail Deykaza, the CTO of Xamarin recently, and they mentioned they are building sort of an on-demand visualizer where you will be able to see what you're building on the go, but currently there's no option for that, so you sort of have to see it in your mind. Does it come for Xamarin with that now?
Yeah.
Really? Oh, okay, I was not aware of that. Oh, interesting. Okay, so apparently you can if you are using Visual Studio. Thank you.
There's no display.
Huh?
You can't see the whole display as you can in WPF
no.
and Silverlight. You can just see the code behind it.
Ah, right. Yeah, no, currently there is no display except for maybe. Maybe
okay.
In Visual Studio.
So if there's any more questions, I'm sure Stan will be able to take them after this session. We now have Steve Robbins coming up from Mix Radio. So it's a little bummer. Thank you very much to Stan. Can everyone give him a big round of applause? Oh, you're an enthusiastic bunch, aren't you? So Steve's been asked, he's spoken about this, I've seen him talk about this this mixed radio product. It's from the wonderful town of Bristol. Anyone from Bristol today? No, just this guy. Okay. Anyone from Northampton? No one's from anyone. Anyone from London? Seattle? Yeah! I knew that was. I knew Ryan, who's going to be speaking in the next session, which is just through there, around Apache Cordova, at 3:15, thank you very much. I should know that, being the person which is meant to be comparing the whole session, but there we go. Oh, switcher.
Should work.
Let's have a look what's going on here then.
So this thingy should work.
There we go.
Sorry. Revealed it all now. Spoilers.
Right, thank you. Is this on? Hello?
You're
brilliant.
On.
Thank you. Hello, I am Steve Robbins. I'm the CTO from Mix Radio. If you've not heard of us, we're a free streaming music service that's on iPhone, Android, and Windows Phone. How many of you have heard of Nokia Lumias? Did you have a Windows Phone back in the day? Yay! You may have heard of Nokia Music. That was us under our previous branding back in the day. So this is the story of how we took our Windows Phone code base across platform. And you may have guessed that that was with Xamarin, but slightly destroying this slide. So it was back in summer 2013, we were given the task to bring Mix Radio onto the then secret Nokia X device that you may remember about a year or so ago, which is Android based. And we had to look at our options, because we also knew from our point of view, we wanted to get onto iPhone and general Android soon after that. As some of you may have used, we had a Windows Phone 8 and Windows 8 apps at the time. So we had experienced C# developers, and that's what we had to get going. So we looked at our options, and kind of as Stan was saying, the main sort of options you get are the HTML-based things like PhoneGap and so on. Because of the nature of a streaming music app, that you need to fairly low level sometimes to make sure the player performance is good and just downloading media and all that sort of stuff. We had huge concerns that we wouldn't be able to do that without writing C++ plugins, which, that's not so much fun. Our next option was obviously going native. And as Stan alluded to in his talk, obviously you're then duplicating business logic, REST API, wrappers, all sorts of stuff multiple times for each platform. So that didn't feel like a great option to us. I guess also with native, having to learn not just the frameworks for each platform, but also the different tooling and the whole stack there above it. So Xamarin was the next option we looked at. And we kind of felt pretty good about it. Basically, we had C# developers with loads of experience. We felt we could share code across the different platforms. We did some prototyping, and the performance looked excellent. You kind of wonder about these sort of wrapper framework type things, whether you're going to get proper native performance, but you do with Xamarin. We initially had concerns about whether using an abstraction layer in front of different operating system SDKs and so on was going to be a problem, and it's been ups and downs with it, but generally it's not really a problem at all. So where we started off from, as I mentioned, we had a Windows 8 app and a Windows Phone 8 app. We didn't really share much code at the time at all. When we started the Windows 8 app, we kind of thought we might need to do something completely different with the UI. But it turned out that we were pretty much wrong about that. We wanted to get the same content across to the different platforms. Obviously, with Windows 8, you want to get more content on the screen and so on, but fundamentally, it was the same stuff we were showing. So this is how the code was laid out at the time. We had some REST API interaction stuff that was shared, some basic models, and then tons of duplicated code through the majority of the models and our view models, and obviously the UI side of things as well. So we set about to define where we wanted to get to. And as I say, we wanted to set the bar pretty high in terms of code sharing and using model view model. Is that a familiar term to most of you? Some nods, good. If not, it's a separation of your user interface from the code running behind it, from the actual data and so on. We did want to do something specifically, so you may be wondering, do we use Xamarin Forms, do we not? We actually started this before Xamarin Forms existed. And as Stan was saying in his talk, possibly Xamarin Forms isn't great for something for an app that needs lots of animations and so on, and that's kind of what we were framing for. So we don't use Xamarin Forms. So we wanted to keep platform-specific parts for the actual user interface and for things like media download and playback, because that's pretty hairy on each platform. So in a way, our target architecture was building on what we had previously, sharing loads more code, but allowing the user interface and the sort of platform specifics around media handling and that sort of stuff to be actually tailored to each platform. And the idea was we would eventually build it out across the other platforms as well. So we started small. We had two developers who had pretty much no experience of Android starting on this. And this is the Nokia X device that was actually launched on the right-hand side. We had to lock the poor buggers in a room because it was a secret project within Nokia. So they had to learn on their own, which wasn't much fun for them. But the good news was we had a basic app up and running within a couple of months, so interacting with our REST APIs and getting the team used to actually developing with Xamarin. And we actually launched the app, which is shown at the bottom left, at Mobile World Congress last year. So following that, we wanted to get the app expanded out onto full Android and to iPhone as well, which we kind of started May last year. We gradually brought people across onto the team just so that they could slowly progress and pick up Xamarin, work out what the differences were, and get up and running without plowing tons of people onto the code base. During this time, Xamarin provided really great support for us in terms of sending experts on site when we needed them, helping chase through support requests with their US team and this sort of thing. So the biggest challenges we had were learning new platforms. Our devs were diehard Visual Studio Windows developers, as you can tell from working in Nokia and working on Windows Phone stuff for many years. The biggest sort of challenges they had were dealing with Macs, dealing with Android. Debugging on Android is quite painful, it seems. Getting used to the Xamarin release style as opposed to Microsoft's the Visual Studio release every year or two, pretty damn stable releases. whereas Xamarin's a bit more open source style where sometimes things get thrown out early and you can use it if you're not. They've got different update channels within Xamarin Studio itself, so you can choose bleeding edge or stable. And that was quite a culture shift for our devs that were used to stability in the Microsoft world. And by the way, we worked for three companies during this year. As I'm sure you remember, Nokia getting sold to Microsoft, and then we actually spun out of Microsoft separately as well. So it was a turmoil for us that year. Whilst we were doing it, we took advantage of some of the Xamarin features, which you may or may not have heard of. So one of the things that Xamarin offer is a tooling set called Xamarin Test Cloud. And as you may guess, it runs your UI tests in the cloud. Catchy name, right? So this is an example of one of the tests we have. And we have about 250 tests that we run each night. They take probably an hour and a half or so to run through. And it actually runs on real devices. And you can choose what phones, what operating system versions, et cetera, that you use. And what you're seeing here on this screen is on the left-hand side, it's one of the tests. So it's actually, a little pointer. You can see here these little heart and dislike, or love and hate. We did it before Twitter. What this test is doing is, once you've pressed love on a track, if you then go and press the hate button, it's proving that the love button turns off, the track skips, and so on and so on. So there's a whole bunch of steps here, which actually starts the app, starts playing music, makes sure it's on the now playing screen, and so on and so on, then presses the button, and then checks it actually works. So you can do pretty comprehensive stuff. Whilst you can click on each of these steps, and you'll get a separate screenshot of what was happening on the phone. You can see the memory usage, the time it took, CPU usage, all that sort of stuff. And you can get logs from the device as well. So if you're looking at something that can replace user interface testing, it's pretty cool stuff. There's another tool from Xamarin, which is Insights, which we have our own analytics, which we're gathering tons of data anyway. But this, we use Xamarin Insights for effectively crash reports from live clients. So what this does is aggregates up exceptions and crashes, and you can see how many devices are affected by it, what versions are on, and you know, sorts of deep analytics on that. It's all pretty cool. So we finally got the app launched in May this year. We launched in 30 countries. And we managed to achieve 70% code reuse across the three platforms, which I was pretty happy with. It's kind of what you would imagine it should be like, but actually getting there is obviously a lot of effort. Since that point, we've been rapidly adding features. We've done probably four or five releases since May, and we have a load more stuff internally where we're seeing the benefit of the shared code, and adding new features into the apps is going really quickly. We have two certified Xamarin engineers, and with Test Cloud, we've managed to reduce our manual testing, which we had offshore testing in China running overnight. We've reduced that by over 2,000 hours a month, which is saving us quite a bit of money. With a number one music app in Indonesia, who'd have thought it? And we're in the top 10 in Brazil and Germany. And we have cool ratings, so it's worked out pretty well for us. That's it. Thank you. If you've got any questions, let me know.